Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you want to join us online, go to our Facebook or YouTube page. We are live video streaming the show there. Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. Are you looking at the Facebook page right now, Ed?
Yes.
Ed Battagliano? Did anybody post that video I was talking about?
I'm going down and looking. I do not see it. Maybe okay. I've just scrolled down
too quickly. I'll try to find it after the show. Steve Jordahl, good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Video I'm talking about is there's a group. It's a Saturday afternoon or evening in Washington D.C. A group of people who attended the Trump rally were walking back to their hotel. By group, I mean this group was small that I saw, like 5 or 6 people, maybe 8, 10. They are about to their hotel, and the police have set up a blockade. The police tell them you can't go past this point. And the guy says that I saw his Twitter feed. He says, my hotel is half a block from here. We're being chased by these thugs, being harassed. We just need to go to our hotel. And the police say, no, you got to go back through the people. You got to go back. You got to go back and be alone by yourself with these people. You can't come through here.
So the video that I found and I sent to Brent, it has that, although you can't really hear the conversation between the cops and this guy carrying the flag, because there's so much yelling and shouting and, you know, rioting noise basically going on, intimidation noise. And I would want to say also, for anybody who want to go to look at this, I will put a very strong language warning on any of these videos. So
yeah, the thugs, again, I guess you call them Antifa. I don't know if they have a membership or whatever. That's what they're called. But they use the F word. Yeah, I mean, and that is every other word that they use. I shouldn't have even said that. I apologize. But that's the word they use, every second or third word in anything that they say.
Right.
Which to me represents a dark heart. Yes. That's biblical, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
It represents a vile disposition, an evil spirit, if you want to.
And you were just showing me some video. We're trying to find the one you're talking about, where they sucker punch this guy. When these groups surround people, it's very rare that it's a stand-up fight one-on-one. They come up behind the person, the Trump supporter, and hit him from behind. That just makes my blood boil. Listen, if you're gonna challenge somebody, you challenge them straight up. But there's nothing fair about what they're doing. This is, predatory behavior in a group, and there's nothing fair or honest about it. So to your point, that's a darkened heart too.
They also went to the Antifa, for lack of the thugs. They went to this restaurant in D.C. on the street and threw fireworks into where the people were eating dinner. It's just these folks have no morals, no restraints. The only restraint there is for these folks is the fear maybe of the police arresting them.
And most of the time, they're just standing around watching. I understand that from the city government's perspective, you know, the mayor on down, the chief of police, they don't want to get into head breaking. You know, the police, you know, they, because of all that's gone on, you don't want to lose your job and you don't want to attract unwanted publicity. But you got to protect citizens.
Yeah, but if you're gonna err, and you're the police right now, in making it hard on people, you better find a white Christian.
Right.
Huh? If you to crack.
It's, yes.
To crack his head.
Well, no, not crack his head, but you tell the white Christian that we're not letting you to your hotel.
Yeah.
even though your hotel's a half a block away, you got to go back through those thugs over there.
Yeah.
That's what that's what the guy said, who was the fellow who went up to the cop cars. And
I think what these cities ought to do and states ought to do, as I'm watching this, is they say the Constitution allows you to protest, but you cannot protest with a mask on. I'm not talking about a medical mask. I'm talking about these face coverings so that you can't tell who they are. And you can't bring clubs, and you can't bring – I saw some BLM folks in this video we're watching on Fox News with shields, would look like riot shields. They ought to say you can't do that. You can protest, but no face coverings and no weapons of any sort. And if we see you with them, you'll be arrested.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see if – you know, I've got to read more about this story after the program to find exactly what all happened. But it was really scary and intimidating and dangerous for a lot of these people who were in Washington for this Trump rally, especially as night fell and these Antifa types, these thugs came out and started roaming the streets looking. What they try to do, too, as I saw, is they try to find people who've gotten out of a big group.
Right.
And they're maybe on an off street, two or three of people or a family walking by themselves.
Yeah.
And then they descend on them.
Right. You are sounding
like ravenous dogs.
It sounds an awful lot like the way a lion stalks its prey.
Yeah, except it's a group of lions.
Well, yeah. Yes. Well, they do. They hunt in packs. Hyenas hunt in packs. But they always go after the stray gazelle that kind of wanders away.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. It was outrageous. And I don't know that. The D.C. Police Department, I don't know, hopefully they'll have some statements today about this whole situation, if that'll clear up anything. Why, in particular, I want to know why they turned those folks away.
Right.
Now, those folks did make it to their hotel, the ones I'm talking about, without serious injury, but it was very dangerous.
That's a roll of the dice. If the police won't let you go through, it's a roll of the dice whether you're going to get through.
I know. I probably would. Allison, my wife and I were talking about this. What if that were us? I would probably just say, okay, I'm going to sit right here by the cop car then.
Yeah.
I'm not going back,
right.
Back to the people who want to kill me.
I'm going to stay right here on the other side of this barrier,
right.
Officer.
Right. And if you want to arrest me, arrest me.
Because that's better than going through that crowd.
Yeah. No, really. Really, really was. All right, Steve, next story.
Is it too soon after the election to say, here we go again?
Yes, but go ahead.
Failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams has tweeted out that more than 600,000 Georgians have requested mail ballots for the Senate runoff election on January 5th.
I say too bad. I'm in a bad mood after watching those videos. I say too bad. You're going to have to go down and request an absentee ballot with your ID, or you got to vote at a voting booth.
No, they're going to get their ballots.
Polling place.
They're going to get their ballots.
All right, so we'll have a recount after that in Georgia.
I don't know who the Trump campaign or the GOP has down there monitoring things, but they better have an army because they're doing it again. They are doing it again.
Okay, you're telling me it's legal to request a ballot through the mail, right?
It is. But what we saw in this past election, the presidential election, was that opened up the window for fraud in counting mail-in ballots and checking signatures. And, you know, you stop counting, you give them extra days to count.
I'm not suggesting I'm for it. No, I think it's a good idea, this mass mail voting. I'm just saying you're going to have to make it illegal to do it that way or else they're going to just continue.
Well, they got to figure out what went wrong with the mail-in ballot in, Georgia, for one, Pennsylvania. Figure out why they were having the problems of having to extend things. Just saying COVID isn't good enough. There's got to be something that, you know, the ballots, were they picked up? Was there a chain of custody? They have to tighten up all these things if they're going to let that go.
Did y'all see the numbers? Okay, what I'm about to say, I don't have the proof in front of me. So I just want to say what I'm about to say with a caveat. because I don't have the, but I read where you typically have in past elections involving mail-in ballots, you have a 3% rejection rate based on an insufficient ballot. The signature is not there. It doesn't match.
I have the numbers in front of me.
Okay, well, thank you. Please give us those numbers.
So this is one of 4 points that one of the Trump team
This is very important. I want people to listen to what Steve is about to say because this is very significant. Go ahead.
All right. So he's saying the absence of mail-in voting vetting, mail-in vote vetting was rampant. In the case of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf made such changes unilaterally, the changes to the what how you verify a vote, in stark violation of Pennsylvania law, by their own admission, a scant 0.03% of rejected ballots in Pennsylvania, of mail-in ballots were rejected in Pennsylvania. That is 1/30th of the level of that same state in 2016.
Okay, so here's the point. In this election we just had, these millions of ballots were sent in via the mail in the state of Pennsylvania. This is probably true nationwide. Where in the past you normally have did you say a 3% rejection rate?
There's typically see a rate of 3%.
Okay.
And let me just add this. In New York State, which is right near Pennsylvania, they introduced mass mailing elections in the primaries. They rejected 21% of mailed ballots.
Okay. So you have it anywhere from 3 to 20%.
Yeah.
In New York and Pennsylvania. In the past, when you had mail-in ballots cast for statewide elections, you have a percentage of those that are rejected for the reasons I mentioned earlier. In this past election, with President Trump versus Joe Biden, you had a 0.3 rejection. Is that what you're, isn't that correct?
Correct.
I heard you right.
Yeah, you did.
So think about that for just a moment. Does that not, Ed, when I say that, what is that, does that, I guess it doesn't prove anything, but it certainly suggests to me that they accepted every ballot that came in.
Okay. I'm going to say I'm a little confused here. So I understand what you're saying about past typical elections where you have mail-in ballots, 3% are rejected. Are you saying in this one it was a third of a percent?
A third of
1%.
No, 1/300th of a percent. 0.3. A third of a percent would be 0.3%, right? This is 0.03%.
Okay. If it's 0.03%, then you're talking about a fraction of a percent. Let's just say
yes.
That. A fraction of 1%. So why is that? Are they just not rejecting as many? They're just allowing these to go through because you have judges saying it doesn't matter if the if the signature matches, we're letting it slide through. Is that what you guys are saying?
Well, what they're saying is that the Democrat governors were they were clamoring for massive mail-in voting, and they knew full well that most states would become overwhelmed and wholly unable. I'm reading here from these claims, unable to establish the validity and legality of most all of these votes that poured in. In the case of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf made changes unilaterally in violation of Pennsylvania law and in contradiction of the U.S. Constitution, assignment of voting authority to state legislators, not governors. Governor Wolf's election boards just accepted the ballots en masse without appropriate vetting.
That's going to be part of the lawsuit that the Trump campaign is going to file in the next day or two, I would suspect.
Can I give you another statistic?
Hold on. Yes, you may, but just one second here. So, what you have here, if you compare the 0.3 to the 3%, is that you have all these millions of ballots submitted in Pennsylvania, and they didn't throw any of them out, which would be would deny. There's statistical reality of the situation. I should put it that way. So that it sort of says to me, how many, it begs the question, how many of these ballots were invalid? I mean, what is the difference between 0.3% of ever how many millions of ballots were submitted via the mail in Pennsylvania and 3%?
Yeah, well, this is going forward what these states are going to have to deal with, but it's almost, in some of these states, it's almost too late because it's probably impossible to figure out how many of those ballots that they let slide through are actually invalid. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do see what you're saying.
It's like these states are saying, well, it'll be too late after the election to clean up this mess. We'll get the result we want, and then maybe we can change it.
What you're describing is a definition of the word rigged.
Right. That's right. Because you won't be able to prove it. All of these ballots will be mixed in, and it'll be too late to do anything. This is why it's going to be hard for the president's team to get some of these elections, you know, either recounted or overturned or changed, because the window to discover all the potential fraud, I'm not going to say fraud, but the potential of fraud or a rigged election is shrinking.
Steve?
Upwards of 3 million mail-in absentee ballots were cast in Pennsylvania. Now, I don't know if you have a calculator in front of you, Ed, but what is 3% of 3 million?
30,000.
You're asking a non-math person.
Wait, I'm sorry. There'd be 90 million, right? I mean, excuse me, 90,000, right?
3% of 3 million. I can't do that in my head. All but right. That's how many ballots.
Listen.
90,000.
90,000. That's how many ballots.
90?
So 90.
So I had it right.
Yes.
I just,
very good.
I got it. Excuse me. I got to pause here for this moment in time.
Absolutely.
When my off-the-top-of-my-head math skills came through for me.
You proved your math teachers in high school wrong.
Yes, I did.
This did come in handy.
They doubted.
Yeah.
And so 90,000. You flip.
90,000 votes of mail-in ballots were likely to have been rejected.
If passed.
Right.
Statistics.
If
held true.
That's all we're
right.
saying. That's yeah. not unreasonable.
And it doesn't mean that all of those necessarily would have been for Joe Biden, but
right.
the trending was a massive amount of them were.
I think they broke for Biden 90-10. Almost.
It was something like that.
I mean, it's crazy. It went beyond that. Even that went beyond.
Which is why I'm worried about Georgia.
Trump.
Which is why I'm worried about the Senate runoffs in Georgia. Because I don't know why that would be different then. Here's the other statistic that just blows me away. Do you remember, we talked a little bit about this. This is in Georgia. The number of ballots where someone came in and voted for President Trump, but declined to vote for one of the Senate candidates, one of the two Senate candidates, any down ballot.
Right.
818 ballots out of the whole state just came in. Republicans came in, voted for Trump, put their ballot in the box and left. 95,801 Democrats came in and voted just for Joe Biden and did not vote for either one, any
that.
Democrat
I don't
senator.
Who believes that?
I don't. Yeah. This is the point where you have so many Trump supporters and so many conservatives and maybe even liberals who want to keep the election system fair. They're going, well, it should have been roughly the same. Roughly 1,000 for Trump and 1,000 for Biden. Why wouldn't it be? Why is it 95,000, almost 96,000?
In Georgia alone.
In Georgia alone.
Had one person marked on the ballot.
Is that
Biden.
Not suspicious for anybody?
Well, I got to tell you, you saw the enthusiasm for Biden. Was just
yeah, it was through the roof.
Through the car roof of the people who were gathered in the parking lot.
Through the car roof. Very
That's good,
Steve. I like it.
It was through the car roof. There was no enthusiasm for
right.
Joe Biden, discernible. It was only enthusiasm for Joe Biden was he was not Donald Trump.
This when we talk about roughly 1,000 votes cast for Trump with no down ballot votes and 96,000 for Biden, it sounds like ballot harvesting. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like someone goes yep. downtown Atlanta. And
right,
says, listen,
right.
you voted no. Here's your ballot.
Right.
All you got to do is just mark Biden. That's all we care about. And I'll collect all these ballots and take them in. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, also, Yes, exactly what it sounds like. In fact, I would think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. What is interesting? That's not a strong enough word here. Is telling maybe? Is that there seems to be no curiosity on the part of the mainstream media, or even some of the conservative mainstream media, on what we've talked about this morning.
Right.
For the last few minutes.
Including Fox.
Because when there are irregularities, now I don't watch all the Fox shows, maybe the nighttime shows, maybe they deal with this.
They seem to be interested in this issue.
Tucker and, Sean,
Laura Ingraham.
They're yelling.
But what I'm saying is you don't have to believe in Bigfoot to see these things that we've talked about, which are real and which are statistics which are documented and can be proven. This is all not having anything to do necessarily with the court case that the Trump administration or the Trump campaign is about to file in multiple states. This is just facts of what happened that you go, that doesn't sound right or look right in any typical election cycle.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So what I'm saying is, when people bring these things up, they shouldn't be dismissed as wackos, as people who, you know, can't deal with reality.
Over and over and over again, I see unsubstantiated, unproven, false with regard to claims of voter fraud. These are the words that the media is using. And I got to tell you, it's hard to throw an election. But if you want evidence, the fact that the media is saying it didn't happen is almost evidence in itself that it did.
And they're demanding that President Trump concede mm-hmm. on day 2, 3, 4, 5. We're at 13 now since the election. They're demanding that he concede or either it's dangerous. All the while, Al Gore, a Democrat, got 37 days.
Stacey Abrams never conceded.
Before he can,
well,
and there was no clamor to, oh, this is putting the Republic at risk.
And let me flip the script a little bit. In 2016, all the media talked about for 3 years was the Russians influencing the election so that Trump won. And there was zero evidence of that. Okay? So the media did care in 2016 what they thought looked fishy, okay? But they're not interested in 2020. Because their guy clearly won. That's right. Their guy won.
They're all in.
We have a deeply broken system.
Well,
it's not hard to fix it, though.
Wonder Woman is here. Her name is Sidney Powell.
There you go.
I tell you what, I wouldn't want her on after me.
No.
No.
Huh?
She's got a drop dead look. You ever seen? Did you see her? It's got that.
That was my high school attendance lady. Huh?
Not a hint of a sense of humor there.
No. She looked. Yeah, I told her I was late for school because, and then I made up some lie.
Yeah,
and she just.
Oh, Tim, say it ain't so.
She, I was 16.
Lies came easily, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I don't know about easily, but
right.
So she just nailed me to the wall.
Like
your explanation there makes no sense at all, and you're guilty.
Yes.
It's sin. Now pick up the phone and call your mom and your dad. That's what Sidney Powell reminds me of, that lady.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Steve, did you ever skip school?
I cut class one time in my whole high school life.
I never skipped school my entire life in high school, whatever, because I was that afraid of my dad.
Well, your dad, Marine.
Yeah.
Marine dad, don't want to go home to him.
Uh-uh.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, folks, have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.